Our scripture reading for today comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to read verses 8 through 10. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse 8. Let's open our Bibles and read together these words of the Apostle Paul. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, Paul said, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." Now Paul is telling Timothy what he should teach the church. And one of the items that Paul said to teach the church is the role of men and the role of women. Now, it's interesting that he does the same thing in different ways and in different terms with Titus. When he writes to Titus, he tells Titus to teach the older men and the older women and the younger men and the younger women. Now, the New Testament is direct and to the point on the subject of the role of men and women as God sees them. And in this lesson and in the next lesson, we're going to study what Paul says in this section about this subject. Now, in verse 8, Paul told the men to pray. Notice that he says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere." Remember that as he opens this chapter, he talks about the need to pray for rulers. Now then, in verse 8, he says, "I want the men to pray." The word "men" here refers specifically to males. This is the specific word in the Greek for males. It is not the more generic word for mankind. Sometimes in the Bible, when the scriptures use the word "man," it is mankind, men and women, males and females, that are meant by that word, but not this word. And if you don't know anything about the Greek to confirm what I'm talking about, all you have to do is just to look at the context. And the context shows that in verse 8, he's talking about males. He's not talking about males and females. Because in verse 8, he said, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere." And then immediately in verse 9, he says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel." So obviously, in verse 8, he's talking to the males, and in verse 9, he's talking to the females. And here, he tells the men to pray. Now, here's some questions that we want to raise about verse 8 in order to locate and to determine what Paul is talking about and what he is not teaching here in this verse. When Paul says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, that he wants the men to pray everywhere, does this mean that women cannot pray? Well, of course not. All throughout the Bible, we find that women are to pray just the same as men. As the New Testament begins, in Luke 2, verse 37, we find Anna praying night and day. So obviously, Paul is not telling women that they cannot pray here. Well, that brings us to the second question, and that is, why does he say males then? In what special sense are males to pray? Well, it's evidently that they are to lead prayer. This verse, you see, starts a section on male leadership in spiritual matters. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says, "I want the men, the males, to lead prayer." In 1 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12, Paul says, "I want the men to lead in the teaching." And in 1 Timothy 3, going into the next chapter, verses 1 through 13, Paul says, "I want the men to lead by serving in the church, in the offices of elders and deacons." And so this whole section from 1 Timothy 2, verse 8, all the way through chapter 3, verse 13, is about male leadership in spiritual matters. So men are to lead these prayers that Paul is talking about. And we do want to emphasize here that men in the church ought to be willing. They ought to be ready to lead prayers, to do what Paul is talking about in this section. Sometimes when we talk about the role of men and women in the church, we perhaps don't emphasize enough the fact that men ought to be ready and be willing to lead in spiritual matters in the church. Sometimes the problem is not just that women want to assert themselves in positions where they ought not to be. It's that men do not have the desire that they should to follow God's word in these matters. Now, the Bible says that men are to lead prayer. I will therefore, he says, that men pray everywhere, that is, in every place. Now, is Paul talking specifically here about worship services? Well, if he is, he didn't tell us that. There is no mention of the worship assembly in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Now, I'm not saying that the worship assembly is not included in this. What I am asking is this instruction limited to the worship assembly? Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in particular, Paul is talking about activities in the worship assembly where the whole church comes together on the first day of the week. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, when Paul limits what women can do in that setting, he is talking specifically there about the worship assembly. He's talking about the church assembly in 1 Corinthians 14. So in 1 Corinthians 14, the wording is specific, but in 1 Timothy, the wording is general. He simply says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. He doesn't say that that's specifically and is limited to the worship service. He simply says that men are to do this kind of praying. So here's the bottom line. Here then is the conclusion that we would draw about 1 Timothy 2, where he says that the men are to pray everywhere. If the wording of the text is specific, then the application of the text should be specific. But if the wording of the text is general, then the application of the text should be general as well. Now, 1 Timothy 2, verse 8 is general, and it means that men should lead prayers, not women, whether it's in a worship assembly, a Bible class, or some other setting where you have men and women present. Now, Paul says that men are to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Now, he's talking about the man leading the prayer here. And as you read the Old Testament, you read verses like 1 Kings 8, verse 54, where Solomon kneeled to pray, and he spread up his hands, the Bible says, to heaven. So posture in prayer is a matter of judgment then. And we might add that it may be possible that the expression holy hands here is figurative, like the word hands in James 4, verse 8, when James says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Well, he's not talking about our physical hands there. He's using the hands to represent the life. And so it could have something to do with that in this passage. Now, Paul explained these holy hands. He says, men are to pray without wrath and doubting. Without wrath means that there are differences of opinion and there are disagreements among the men of a congregation. So Paul says that men need to set aside anger when they pray. In James 1 verse 20, the Bible says that the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. They are to pray without doubting. And you may have a translation or a note on that word that says disputings, because usually this word has to do with some kind of inward reasoning that is wrong and that in some way leads to people stating faulty opinions and arguing about them. So men are to pray with a clear mind toward God. It's hard to concentrate in your praying when you're mad at somebody and when you're arguing with each other, especially in that congregation, and especially over things that are not even necessary. Now, the next thing that Paul does is to address the women in verses 9 and 10. And he talks about a woman's clothing or her adorning. He says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Now, the word modest means well-arranged. It means seemly. It means modestly or decently. Now, here, what Paul is specifically talking about in this verse is overdressing. It's making a display of oneself. It's putting on a show to show how you can outdress other people. The rest of the verse talks about that. Now, the Bible does talk about, and the Bible teaches against, underdressing, that is, not putting on enough clothes. But the word that the Bible uses to describe that is the word naked or the word nakedness. It often means wearing revealing clothing or indecent clothing. And the Bible shows that that is wrong. The Bible shows that it's wrong to get out in public half-dressed and not to cover one's body as one should. But here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, he's talking about the other extreme, where a person is putting on a show and trying to outdress everybody. And as he describes this, he talks about how that a woman should be modest in her apparel, and he uses some words that describe the attitude that she ought to have. You see, the way that a woman dresses reflects how she thinks in her heart. Remember that Solomon said in Proverbs 23, verse 7, that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he? Well, the way that a man or a woman thinks in his or her heart determines the way that that person is going to dress. And so if a woman is going to dress right, she has to make sure that her heart is right. And Paul is talking about her heart next. He says that she is to adorn herself in modest apparel with shamefacedness. Now that word means a sense of shame and a sense of reverence. A woman is to respect other people and dress accordingly. She is to dress neither in such a way as to disrespect people by degrading the situation or to make people feel that she is above them in some way by the way that she dresses. She is to dress with sobriety. Now listen very carefully. The Bible says that women are to dress with sobriety. That word means good judgment, moderation, self-control. A woman is to think before she puts her clothes on. She is to think before she picks out something to wear. She is to think it through before she buys something to wear. She ought to ask herself the question, is this decent? Does it cover me? Does it cover me enough? Is it too tight? Is it too flashy? Will it hurt my influence? She needs to think, and she needs to think clearly before she makes that choice. And she needs to think clearly before she makes a choice about what she buys for her daughter or for her daughters. Now, Paul then says how women are not to dress. Now, read this again with me in verse 9. Women are to adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness, that is a sense of shame, and sobriety, that is with good judgment, moderation, and self-control, not with broided, that is braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, that is with expensive clothes. Now, Paul is saying, don't put the emphasis on these things, but put the emphasis on your good life. You see, you have to continue to read here. He says, don't dress like that, but he says that women ought to adorn themselves, in verse 10, with good works. Now look very carefully again at verse 10. Paul says that a woman should not adorn herself with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. The word not there simply means not so much this as in verse 10 when he says, but, that is, more so, that is, especially with good works. Paul is not saying it's wrong to do your hair. He's not saying that it's wrong for a woman to wear gold of any kind. He's saying don't overdo it. Now let's look at a companion passage in 1 Peter chapter 3, the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, and let's read verses 3 and 4 because we have some similar wording found here. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, Peter said, "Whose adorning, that is women's adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting, that is braiding the hair, or of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel." You see, if Peter, like Paul, is saying here that a woman cannot do these things at all, then he's telling women that they can't even put on apparel. Well, we know he's not saying that. He's saying, don't let that be your emphasis. Don't let that be your focus. But instead, put more emphasis, he says in verse 4, on the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. A Christian woman should be known by the good deeds she does and the good spirit she shows more than by the nice clothes and jewelry that she wears.